But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hey everyone, welcome back. So today, I'm gonna jump into a series. And the series is how to hear the voice of God, how to hear God speak. And I've done this class before a couple times, and it was very long, like 3 hours long. I'm not gonna put you through that. What I've decided to do this time is to break the classes up into segments where we'll probably end up with 4, maybe 5 or even 6. That will make the entire series and set of how to hear God speak. How do you hear God speak? And so we have already done one, which was the beginning with prayer class. So if you search for that, or we'll create a section on our website where we'll put this entire series so you can find it. And it's the beginning with prayer class is actually the class that will be the first one or one in the series. And now today I'll go on from there and we'll just build as we go along each week until the series is complete. So today, the title of this class is How Does God Speak? How Does God Speak? All right, so I'm going to pray and then we can jump right into it. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God that not only hears our prayers, but you are one that speaks to us. You speak back to us. You are listening for us, and you're also responding to us. And we thank you for that, that we have not been left as orphans, not hearing your voice or not knowing what you're saying to us, Lord. I just thank you for this time to share. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will increase in me, that you will speak through me, that you will flow through me, that everyone that hears it, you'll speak to each one individually, and you will begin to highlight to them the different and various ways that you speak to each one. I thank you for this time. I pray you fill our homes, our offices, our cars, wherever we are walking outside with your presence, Lord. And that you will minister to each and every one of us in our spirit what you are saying in this hour. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay, so let's dive into this. So this one is how to hear God speak. Now, I know that when we say someone said, or I heard someone said, the first thing you're gonna think is hearing, this ears. So when someone says, God said to me, we're generally thinking it's something they heard audibly, because that's what hearing sounds like to us. But I'm here to tell you that in the spiritual realm, when you're dealing with God or angelic beings, it's really your five senses. You're actually hearing through your five senses. Sight, smell, taste, touch, hearing. And just as you have natural five senses, there are also spiritual five senses. You can actually have all these senses in the realm of the spirit, and that is actually how you are hearing God. So I want to share with you some scriptures that point to this, the fact that it's not just audibly. The first one I have for you is Psalm 34:8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." So we have sight and we have tasting. And actually, if you looked at the class of meditative scripture reading, I went into depth about tasting the goodness of God and what that looks like. The next one I have for you, it's Genesis chapter 32, verse 25. It's the story of Jacob wrestling with the Spirit of God, the angel of the Lord, actually. And as they wrestled, it said that the angel touched his hip socket. So there is a touching that's happening. There is a sense of touch that's going on. And I'm sure even for some of you, you may have at one point or another walked into a room and just had the hairs on the back of your head stand up, or you know, you just get a feeling in that room, and that's actually your sense of touch that's picking that up. Whatever being or spirit is in the room, you might discern it that way or hear it that way. The next one is Daniel chapter 10, verse 7. It says, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. So what happened is an angel came to deliver a message to him. And when the angel came, Daniel went into a vision and actually saw it visibly, with his spiritual eyes, of course, because it says, those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So he goes into a vision and he sees it with his spiritual eyes, but everyone around him, they didn't see it. Instead, they felt. Remember I talked about walking into a room and just feeling that presence? Well, when that angel came into their presence, he saw it in a vision, but everybody else actually felt it, and they just ran. The next one is in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus is referred to as the Rose of Sharon. Just think about that, the smell of a rose. It also says in 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So we ourselves as Christian let off a fragrance that goes up to God or to others around us in the realm of the spirit. People can pick it up that there is something about you, and if they can smell in the spirit, they will actually smell you. Actually, I had a friend of mine, before we discovered, or I pointed out to her that that's a spiritual gift you have, we would go to places and she would say to me, do you smell that? And I would say, no, like what? And she goes, it's sweet. It smells like jasmine. So I'd be looking around and we'd be looking and there's no jasmine there, but she was smelling jasmine. And so, you know, just fluffed it off. Okay. Another occasion, we were going to another place and she's smelling this jasmine again. And she was like, you don't smell that? I'm like, no, I don't smell anything. Well, she was smelling the presence of the Lord as he entered the room. And we started to realize whenever we would go out to minister or whenever she was going anywhere to share the gospel of Jesus Christ or to talk about the Lord to someone, he would make known to her that he was there with her by allowing her to smell him in the spirit. So yes, this is actually a gift and it can happen. And some of you might have that too. And you know, you're always smelling things that no one else can smell. And jasmine is just one thing. You can smell bad things too. Unclean spirits, to me, generally smell like dirty clothes. I smell like laundry that's been sitting there and it needs to be washed, clothes that's been sweating. That's how it smells to me. Other people will smell the spirit of death and they'll say it smells like formaldehyde. So all of these things can happen. Someone can come around you or even be across the room and you're smelling alcohol by looking at them and there's no alcohol in the room. And from that, God will be saying this person has a problem with drinking. So there are all these ways in the realm of the spirit and through our senses that God can actually speak to us. So just, I want you to keep that in mind. I'm actually fascinated when I talk to people and they say, well, God told me. I always say, well, how did he tell you? And that always catches people off guard because they'll say, what? Why would you ask me how did he tell me? I'm like, well, don't you want to know like how he's talking to you? To me, I would want to know if I'm growing in the things of the Lord by all the different ways that God is talking to me, you know, because now it's like I can see, I can hear, I can smell, I can taste, and I feel the touch of the Lord on me. All of these things can happen. So I'm always examining like, well, how did you hear? Because I will tell you, not many people hear the audible voice of God. It does not happen often. And I've been saved now since 2002. And I've only ever heard the audible voice of God one time, only once. And it was so loud, I looked around, I was in a room of 70 other people and I realized none of them heard him. I was the only one. Much like Daniel saw that vision, nobody else saw the vision, but they felt the presence. And so, you know, it's important to understand and to see the different way that he speaks. And don't feel like, well, God isn't speaking to me because you're not hearing him audibly. You could be hearing him many other ways. And I'm going to go into right now, like the different ways in which he speaks. Keeping in mind what I just said, it's five senses. But then also understand that that is then layered into the way in which the message comes to you. So one other way, well, let's just talk about the main way. The main way in which we can all hear God speak, this is everybody, is through the Bible. When you read the Word of God, and this is why I'm always going to stress to you, read your Bible. That is the first way in which God is speaking to you. And again, pay attention. You're reading, it's your sight, okay? So he's speaking through seeing, words, or if you're listening to the audio Bible, then it's audio. But it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So he's speaking to us and imparting to us instructions from reading the word. So that would be the first place you should start. I want to hear God speak. Okay, read your Bible. That's how you start. And it becomes the way in which he's going to engage with you. He's going to engage with you through his word. Then you can move along and you'll see him speak in many other ways. Okay, the next one I want to share with you is that God can speak to you through environmental changes. So how is that? If you think about how do you know that we change seasons? Like it might look nice and sunny outside there, but it certainly doesn't feel nice and sunny. It's chilly, very chilly. But even birds know when the seasons are changing, when the months are changing. We can tell if it starts snowing or if, you know, the leaves on a tree turn a certain color that we're now into fall. That's the environment around you that is changing that says we're into another season. But he uses this as well to speak to us. So I'm going to share with you the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 8. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook and have commanded I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Ah. And it happened that after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, go from this place. Or he goes on to give him instructions. Environmental change. So let me explain to you what happened. The Lord says, I need you to go to this brook. He heard God. Go over to this brook. I'm going to command the ravens to feed you, and there is a brook there for you to drink from. So he will be, all of his needs are going to be met. He will be fed. You go along with that. God can tell you to do something, and you're doing exactly what the Lord tells you. Then one day, notice that the birds start not coming as often, that the water in the brook starts drying up. God had not yet spoken to him. But that sign was to put him on notice that change was coming. Okay, so this is what I mean when I say environmental. You can look at what's going on around you. God doesn't have to come right out and say, this is what's happening. You should be able to discern by your environment, change is coming. Notice the minute the brook started to dry up and then he saw that, okay, this is changing. And then God came and spoke. So God gave him instructions after a while, but he was already put on notice that this way that I'm supplying for you is about to change. And so, you know, when we spend time with God and we're hearing from him, we don't need to get all nervous when things start changing. He will tell us, but we need to be aware of what's going on around us. Okay, so the next one is God will speak to you through peace. Yes. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as a part of his body, of his one body, and always be thankful. So it says that the Anointed One, which is Jesus, will guide you with his peace. See, God does not exist in confusion and chaos. And while the environment and everything around you might not look right, or it won't feel like this is a good thing, or it might be a total mess. You can be at peace when you're following God, okay? Remember, when you have the Holy Spirit and you're in a relationship with God and you're talking to God, then what's going to happen is when a change is coming, much like Elijah, he will give you signs. You don't need to get all like, you know, worried and chaotic. No, the minute it's time for you to move or change or switch into something else, then he will tell you, okay, now move. So you're actually following peace. And everything can be falling apart around you. And you are completely and totally at peace. Why? Because God has not said, run around like a chicken with your head cut off. And if you're already in that relationship where you're speaking to him every day, you have a prayer life and you're reading the Bible, then when there's a change, he's going to tell you there's a change. So I have to share this little testimony with you right now. Years ago, this is when I actually just got saved. It was within the first year of being saved. But remember from what I discussed in the beginning with prayer class, I was already talking to God. I already had a relationship with the Lord going, and he was speaking to me. So I knew to follow what the Lord was doing and not be caught up in what was going on around me. So I did a lot of mission work. I went on a lot of mission trips. A lot of the trips that I've been on is to the island of Haiti. And so I felt led by the Lord to host, they had just had a natural disaster in that country. And I felt led to host a fundraiser for them where we would, you know, collect all the proceeds and send it to a team that we're working with there. We have pastors there and they have orphanages and they're taking care of the kids and people there. So I spoke to the church about it. I said, let's put on a barbecue, and the proceeds from the barbecue will go to Haiti. So they were like, yes, that's a great idea. Let's do that. So we were planning this barbecue like 6 months out from the day it should be there. And I had there was a whole committee, and different people were in charge of different portions of the barbecue. And my job in the whole thing was food, was to get the food. So, you know, they asked me, well, how many you think we're gonna do, you know, people, how many people should we be preparing for? So I said 500. How did I come up with this number? I don't know. It felt like 500 to me. That's the number. So I was like, let's do for 500. So, you know, they're planning, each person is getting their parts together, and we're meeting, you know, because we're about 6 months out, we're meeting once a month. But then when we got down to the last week, the last month of the barbecue, before it's getting ready to happen, then we started to meet every week. So 2 weeks from the date of the barbecue, we're in a meeting. Now, remember now, I am just saved, had to be about 8 months. And we go to the meeting, and so we're going around the table, and they're asking, okay, so do you have the bounce houses for the kids already secured? You know, and the person who's in charge of that, yes, I have that. And what do you, you know, each person, and I have the music, and I'm doing that. And so they get to me and they said, so how's it going with the food? This is 2 weeks before the event. So I said, oh, it's going, it'll be okay. So they're like, okay, well, what do you have so far to feed these 500 people? By then they had sold 497 tickets for this barbecue. People are coming. So I said, oh, I don't have anything yet. So, I mean, you should have seen their faces, and rightfully so, now that I'm telling you this story. You would have probably been shocked too, like 2 weeks before, and you don't have any food, like you have nothing. So I'm like, yeah, I don't have anything, but it's okay, we're gonna be okay. So they're looking at me, and they're saying, okay, do you need us to jump in and help you with this? So I'm like, no, I got it, it's fine. And I could tell that they were like panic. Just imagine, you sell tickets for a barbecue and there's no food 2 weeks out. So I said, no, it's okay. Because quite frankly, I was at peace. Now, I'm not gonna tell anyone to do this. I can only go with the peace of God in my own heart of what I was feeling at that moment, because the barbecue came from him. All the ideas came from him. I'm talking about God. The amount of people we were supposed to have there came from him. So why wouldn't he give us the food? This is how I think, right? So anyway, we leave the meeting, but I could tell, and this is a large church, okay? And this church, they flow heavily in the spirit of excellence. So they're not gonna let some new believer ruin their reputation by not having this covered. So I could tell already, they were in their minds probably saying, well, okay, well, we sold tickets for, I don't remember how much it was, $10, $15 a ticket. We can quickly get hamburgers and hot dog for that and still have money. But that wasn't my goal. My goal was, we're not paying for anything. We're getting everything for free, all donated, so that all the money that comes in goes straight to the cause, not, you know, where we have to deduct money for food. That was my idea. But I knew it. I was like, they're probably thinking, no, we'll just go buy hamburgers and hot dogs at the last minute because she's never gonna get it done. I could tell that this is what they're thinking. So I left and went home, and I was at peace. It's going to be fine. There is not gonna be a problem. So the meeting was on a Monday. So then our next meeting was going to be the following Monday, which had been the Monday before the Saturday barbecue. So we had one more meeting before the barbecue. So then that was on Monday. So Tuesday, I go to work and I said to the Lord, so what are we going to do about this food for the barbecue? So so it's my lunch break. And Tuesday, it's my lunch break. And so I just went online and I did a little search, Google barbecue. And up pops this place. It's like the biggest barbecue joint in the entire area. Everybody knows this place. They are well known for barbecue. They have the best ribs. You know, I really don't eat ribs a lot, so I don't know. I've never been there before, honestly, but it was high rated online. So I just felt right then, that's where you're going. You're going over to that place. So just picked up my keys, got in my car, drove over there. And when I got there, apparently they don't open till much later, like 4 in the afternoon. So there's like nothing happening in the morning. So by the time I got there, it was lunchtime. So 12:31, I walk up and I'm like, there has to be something in someone in the back cooking something if they're going to be ready for 4. So I try the front door and the door is actually open. I walk in the door and there is this man standing out in the lobby. And the place is called Bud's. So I walk in and I said, oh, hi, are you Bud? This guy in the lobby, and he says, yes, I'm Bud. And I say, hey, Bud, my name is Nicole. And I'm doing a fundraiser for my church, and we're having a barbecue to help the people in Haiti who just suffered that natural disaster. And so I was wondering if you could donate to us some ribs or chicken, whatever you want. I say that to this guy and he's like this. In shock, with his mouth hanging open. And I'm thinking, okay, what did I say to him that's making him look like that? So he says to me, did you read the Palm Beach Post this morning? So I was like, no, I didn't read, I don't really read the newspaper. So he says, wait right here. And so he walks off to his office or in the back somewhere. He comes back with the newspaper and he opens it. And there's this whole news spread in the center of the newspaper about the disaster in Haiti, about the people who are suffering, about everything that was happening. It came out that day, that day. Then he proceeds to tell me, I just read this 5 minutes ago. I finished reading it and I sat at my desk and I said to God, God, I need to do something to help these people. Show me what I can do to help these people. And he said, I walked out of my office and I'm standing here now. And you just walk in the door. Can you believe that? He was like, yes, of course. What do you need? I said, it's 500 people. Okay, come back. Of course, it's Saturday. Come back Saturday morning at this time. He wrote it down. Now, I will let you know. I don't have a letter. I have nothing from the church. I'm like this, just walking in straight and talking. So I was like, thank you, Bud. And I turn around and I get in the car and I go back to my office and I sit there. And Wednesday rolls around and I said, well, what else do we need for barbecue? We have ribs and we have chicken. Okay, so then it was like, oh, it'd be nice to have some fried chicken, hamburgers and hot dog. That's what people need, and condiments, things. Go online, I search again, find another place. Church's Chicken, fried chicken. Okay, cool. And then you have supermarkets too, right? Winn-Dixie, Publix. Get in my car, I drive over to Church's Chicken. I say the same thing. The guy is like, manager, okay. Gonna give you 250 pieces of fried chicken. When you wanna pick it up, tell them. Got that. On the way back, I see the Winn-Dixie. I pull into the Winn-Dixie. I ask for the manager. I said, I want 500 hamburgers and hot dog. Okay. Tuesday and Wednesday, I have all the food. Everything. Ribs, barbecue chicken, fried chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs, all the condiments, all the drinks in 2 days. 2 days. With no letter. They are just some person that walked in off the street. So I'm at peace because I'm following the peace of God. That's what's leading me. I'm not gonna get all worked up. It was his idea. So he has to provide for it. It's his idea, not mine. So, of course, the following Monday, I go to the meeting and I sit there and they say, well, because they're asking me first, you know, because they're worried. So I tell them, what happened? And they're like this. And then the administrator, this is the church administrator, says to me, you met Bud? So I was like, yeah, he was standing in the lobby. And he says, that place has been there for over 20 years and no one's ever met Bud. We've even started wondering if Bud exists. No one's ever met him. I'm like, Bud exists. I met Bud. Bud was in the lobby and just happened to read the story on Tuesday morning. You know, so this isn't just about peace. This is about the timing of God, okay? Because if I had ran out there ahead of Tuesday, there was no newspaper. There was nothing for him to read to say yes or say a prayer to God and God send me into his lobby 5 minutes later, okay? So this is why you have to follow the peace of God, because the peace of God is also attached to the timing of God, which will move you into something in the right time, in the right season, and put you in the right place. You can't follow what's going on around you in terms of like news and media and social media. No. The Bible. You read the Bible, you pray. God will tell you, and you follow the peace of God. And you don't allow outside forces to influence your thinking if God has said to you, I got it. I'm going to take care of this for you. All right. So I just wanted to give you that example of the peace of God. The next one I want to share with you is he speaks to us through his creation. It says in Psalm 19, verse 1 to 2, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Isn't that interesting? Everything around us. Remember I told you, birds, they know when it's time to migrate and what to do. It's all in the environment. It's in creation. The creation that is outside tells you if you would just pay attention to it. So that's all for this class. I hope that helped. So that you know, again, to recap, it's your five senses in the spirit that you hear with. Sometimes you get a knowing. There's a knowing that comes inside of you, you know, where you just know this is God, this is the way, and that's what you're following. All right. But you're starting with the Word of God. That's your first point of contact. And then after that, everything else will follow and flow. And, you know, like I said, it's in a relationship. Nothing is going to happen. God isn't going to allow something happen without him first telling you, look, this is coming, so you need to be prepared. And this is what you need to do to be prepared. Follow the peace. He will guide you with his peace. Okay, I pray that blessed you. And then next week, I will do another one. I'll probably talk then about the hindrances. What will hinder you hearing the voice of God? All right, let me pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this time. I pray that you are well pleased with the information that went forward. And I pray that even right now, individually, you will touch each person, that you will make them very much aware of how you are speaking to them, and that they will hold on to the way in which you speak and embrace that and know that they can follow you through your word. They will see you speaking through your word to them. I pray you continue to grow each one stronger and stronger in you, to hear you, to see you, to smell you, to taste you, to touch you in all walks of life and everywhere in life. I thank you, Lord, for this time. Bless us now with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for joining. Remember, in the description box are the links to the study guide and anything else that you need for this class. Okay? All right. God bless you. Bye.